Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had a whole bunch of people send me this story, and this is fascinating. I like it when the Supreme Courts of states, or the biggie, U.S. Supreme Court, I like it when they make a ruling that is a good one, and occasionally they do that. I reported recently about the Michigan Supreme Court saying that municipalities can fly a drone over your house without a warrant and use that evidence against you in court. But here, the California Supreme Court has said people cannot be detained just for trying to avoid the police. And so there have been situations before where the police say, we had interaction with somebody, we arrested them, blah, 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 blah. Okay, how did that detention start? What happened? They go, oh, well, we saw this guy, he saw us, and then he ran away. So we chased him. And it reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in a movie called To Live and Die in L.A. I'm not saying the movie's my favorite movie, but I'm saying there's a great scene in it where the cops are chasing somebody, and he goes, why are you chasing me? And they go, why are you running? And meanwhile, they're still running. But the point is that up until now, at least in California, police have been able to say, well, the guy ran away, so he must have been up to no good. So the question is, are you required to not run away when you see the cops? I'm not talking about when they've already engaged you. If a police officer pulls you over at the side of the road and says, I'm going to run your license now, if you flee from that, that's different. We're talking about to initiate the stop. Can a police officer initiate a stop with you because of the fact that you appeared to be taking steps to avoid him or her? So the story here is from the Los Angeles Times. Kevin Rector wrote it. Police officers cannot detain someone on the street just because that person tries to avoid contact with them. So the decision has immediate implications for police officers working all across the state, restricting the grounds under which they can stop and hold people for questioning. It would also affect other litigation in which arrests are being challenged, particularly when people of color allege they were detained simply for trying to avoid the police. Someone acting nervous or attempting to conceal themselves can still be relevant context for officers, but those actions alone do not constitute reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, a justice wrote for the unanimous high court. Officers may consider what they see in plain view and can also approach people in public, engage them in consensual conversation, and take note of their appearance and behavior, but absent probable cause, the person is constitutionally protected and empowered to go on his or her way. The decision was a case brought by a Los Angeles man arrested on suspicion of having drugs and a gun after police said he tried to hide from them. It was immediately blasted by the union that represents rank-and-file LAPD officers who called the high court out of touch. LAPD did not respond to a request for comment. So the LAPD is upset because they'd really like to be able to just walk up to somebody. If that person walks away, up, they're walking away. There must be something they're up to. An attorney for the plaintiff in this case praised the public defenders who worked the case initially and called the ruling a vindication of the rights of minorities. The outcome was possibly said because of the Racial Justice Act, a 2020 California law that prohibits discrimination in the state's criminal justice system based on the defendant's race, ethnicity, or national origin. Now, the justice, who is the court's newest member, wrote in a concurring opinion that many individuals commonly hold a perception that engaging in any manner with police, including in a seemingly casual, innocuous way, entails a degree of risk to one's safety. And it also entails a degree of risk to your ability to not be stopped and delayed while they're on a fishing expedition. So they listed, that is the court, the names of 35 people killed in interactions with the police in recent years. Due to this searing history and the present-day experiences of far too many people in the U.S. for generations, legions of parents in some communities have given their children the talk detailing survival techniques for how to navigate interactions with the police, all out of fear of how an officer will react to them. Given this context, it is apparent why attempting to avoid police officers reflects for many people simply a desire to look out for their own well-being. The case began when this man was arrested by LAPD in 2019. According to court records, he was standing on the street in what police described as a known drug area. So just standing on this street in this area made him suspect. It was also a gang hangout, because apparently they hang out on street corners now. And I think they also snap their fingers together and then start singing, but that's far afield. When the man noticed the officers driving up, he walked around a car parked illegally and ducked behind it. The incident was captured on police body cameras. Officer stopped, got out of their car, and walked over to him. And they said that he was moving his hands near his shoes. They told him to stand and put his hands behind his head. They handcuffed him, according to the ruling. The officer later testified the man acted suspiciously by attempting to conceal himself from the police and then pretending to tie his shoe. So then the officers patted him down, and the lights on the car blinked, which they assumed was because their frisk had pushed a key fob in his possession. An officer said that when he shined his light in the car, he saw what looked like paraphernalia. The officers entered the vehicle and then allegedly found a folded dollar bill containing meth, and then, of course, the weapon in a backpack. In court, the man attempted to suppress the evidence as improperly obtained, but his motion was denied by a lower court judge who reasoned that the man's act of ducking and remaining hunched over and toying with his feet, even after the officers approached him, was odd behavior and suspicious. The lower court said the man had done more than enough to warrant detention. He was ordered to serve probation after pleading no contest to the single weapons charge. He continued to fight the outcome, and the state Supreme Court agreed to take up his challenge. This recent decision sends the case back to trial court so the man can withdraw his plea and the court can grant his motion to suppress the evidence against him. How this case might proceed from there is unclear, but it'll probably be dismissed. Some people are going to say, but Steve, if the guy pled guilty, how can he withdraw his plea? And you have to understand that quite often you can enter a conditional plea. And it's not uncommon for someone to say, you know something, the court's ruled on this one issue. Rather than wasting the court's time with a trial, we're going to plead guilty to it so long as you allow us to appeal it. We want to retain the right to file an appeal on this one ground. And if the court and prosecutor agree to that, then they've got that on the record. They can do that. So in a statement to the Times, the Los Angeles Police Protective League defended its officers' actions in the case, which said took a weapon in the hands of a criminal off the LA streets. And of course, yeah, no one's questioning that. It's how you did it. For most residents living in high-crime neighborhoods, that's called good police work, the union said. Yet in their infinite wisdom, California's out-of-touch Supreme Court overturned two lower court rulings that found the officers acted lawfully and sided with the drug and gun-possessing owner of the illegally parked car to further cement California's criminal justice system as the joke it is. Now, I should point out that the union spokesperson here is making a false argument, because he points out that the lower courts ruled in their favor and the Supreme Court ruled in the other favor. This isn't we're 2-1. It's the last one that counts. So if you win the lower courts and lose the Supreme Court, you're a loser. Okay? I'm purposely saying it that way because I'm trying to make a point. Now, some people might say, Steve, I'm real curious about this. Is there a constitutional right to be left alone? Or, as a famous jurist once said, to be let alone. So there's nothing more American than the idea that you have the right to just be let alone. And, of course, this is one you got to stop and think about for a second. Because, believe it or not, the Constitution does get us there, but it takes a little bit of thought. Because you may have heard of the concept of freedom of association. You've got a freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of this, freedom of association. But that phrase does not appear in the Constitution verbatim. And what the courts have said over the years, including the Supreme Court, is that you've got the free speech thing, you got the freedom of assembly thing, you've got the freedom to petition your government, and all of these things imply that you are doing them with other people. But the fact that you're free to do them does not mean that you're required to do them. If you choose, you could decide to never exercise your right of free speech if you wanted to. You could, right? You don't have to talk. And so the courts have said that the notion of speech and assembly and petition all kind of come together with the idea that you have a freedom of association. You can hang out with who you want to hang out with. So if you have the freedom of association, you must likewise have a freedom of disassociation. You have the right to not hang out with the people you don't want to hang out with. So you're walking down the street, and you see your buddy, Steve Leto. Hey, Steve, how you doing? You walk over, and you say hi to him. And he shakes your hand because he's a nice guy. But you're walking down the street, and you see a police officer. You don't want to hang out with a police officer. You have the right to cross the street and keep walking. And when the police officer looks at you and goes, hey, he crossed the street and kept walking because he's trying to avoid me. That's suspicious. I'm going to go detain that person and start quizzing them about why they crossed the street. If you've got the right and freedom to associate with me, you have the right and freedom to avoid somebody else. The fact that they're a cop does not make it any different. Can you imagine? That person's avoiding me. That's wrong. No, it's not wrong. It's one of the rights you have as an American. And so I've mentioned before, and I'm never going to claim that I grew up in a crime-ridden neighborhood and had to like dodge street gang turf warfare to get to school in 6-foot snow uphill both ways. Okay. But I remember as a little kid, and I grew up in Birmingham, Michigan, suburb of Detroit, but quite a ways out from Detroit. And it was a relatively nice, quiet place. And I remember as a little kid riding my Stingray to the store, probably to buy some candy, and a cop car pulling alongside me and the officer saying, "Excuse me, stop." And so I stopped, 8, 9 years old, whatever. Cop walks over and he goes, "Why don't you have a license on your bicycle?" And the city had a program where you could get a license, and it was a sticker. And it would have a 4-digit or 5-digit number on it. And you'd put the sticker on your bike, and then you'd register the number with them. And if the bike got stolen and they recovered, they'd know who to give it back to. And they weren't required by law. It was one of those things you could do if you wanted to. And so I'm a little kid, and I was raised where you were very, very nice and polite to anybody you encountered, at least at first, especially authority figures and teachers and principals, things of that nature. And cop goes, "Why do you have a license on the bike?" And I'm not going to argue with him, but I go, "I didn't think they were required." He goes, "Well, they're not, but it's a good idea. Why don't you have?" And I remember at the time being terrified. And I remember later talking to my brothers, wouldn't dare talk to my parents, because my parents would be like, "Why are you giving the cop a hard time?" Talking to my brothers going, "I thought the licenses for bikes in Birmingham was optional." And they're like, "Yeah, it is. None of us have got licenses on our bikes. None of us had. Just it was a pain. So you had to go up to the police station to get one and put it on your bike. And I think there was a cost because they wanted to run the program. But the point is that when the police officer stopped me and was speaking to me, I got the impression that he was harassing me. And that was the first time in my life I ever interacted with a police officer. I'm not claiming that it traumatized me. I'm not claiming that it caused me to become a lawyer years later. It had nothing to do with that. But I remember that. And if you said, "Steve, name for me 5 things that happened to you that summer of importance beyond that," I'd be like, "I don't know." That's the one I remember. It's the one I remember. So as you can imagine, in this day and age, there are people out there who, given the option, do you want to talk to the cop or not, will opt for not. So you see a cop, you walk the other way. And so I'm assuming that this is also going to apply to people who are driving. So you're driving along one day, and there's a cop over here, so you go this way. Can this cop now go, "Well, hey, wait a second, you were driving straight and you turned right, I'm going to go follow you and see where you're going, pull you over and ask you about it"? And I suspect that that should apply there as well. So I don't know if they got into that opinion, but my point simply is that under California Supreme Court law now, police cannot detain you simply because you appear to be trying to avoid them. And I think this is a great ruling, and all it means is they're going to have to come up with more stuff now. They're going to have to invent better reasons as to why they pulled you over or, you know, pulled you aside to talk to you out in public. So Kevin Rector wrote that for the Los Angeles Times. A lot of people sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.